taken off on a journey. So she asked me to do an enthusiastic live from Buffalo Creek. And I'll try to remember that when you're tuning in, when you're gone, too. All right, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're just going to cover two verses tonight, verses 4 and 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, or chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the dark. The day of the Lord will not overtake believers. I think it's important that you see Paul again changes personal pronouns. From verse 3 and verse 4 and 5 to distinguish believers from unbelievers. The unbelievers who will be the objects of divine wrath were referred to as they and them in 1 Thessalonians 5:3. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape, meaning that the judgment upon the unbelievers will be inevitable. But in stark contrast, in verses 4 and 5, believers who will escape this time period of judgment are referred to as ye and you. Believers are also referred to in these verses as children of the light and children of the day, meaning that they are not dwelling in spiritual ignorance and darkness like those who are unbelieving, unconverted, unregenerate. I once dwelt in the darkness and depravity of sin. I was a natural man with no spiritual affections or desires whatsoever. I only had a fleshly nature that gravitated toward sin and darkness and spiritual ignorance. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are spiritually discerned. Neither can he know them. In 2 Corinthians, it talks about the God of this world blinding the minds of them that believe not. They're dwellers in darkness, who are led about, who are influenced by Satan, the god of this world. Now, it says here, you are children of the light, children of the day. To call someone a son or a child of the light and of the day is a Hebrew expression, which meant their life was dominated by living in the light of God's grace and His glorious countenance. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sins. See, believers walk in the light. They dwell in the light. They live in the light. They love the light of the world. The phrase implied that living in the light was a part of their character and their makeup as a person. There must be a radical transformation internally and externally in a child of God. I mean, we ought to manifest that we are indeed the children of the light. Christianity over the past 50 years or so, it's not It's almost like there's no difference between the world and people who go to church. But our lives need to be dominated by things that are approved of by God. Things that manifest His light, His glory, His holiness, His love, His grace. These things should dominate our lives. People ought to see the fruit of the Spirit in us, that we've been enlightened by the power of God, that the Spirit of God is directing us, teaching us, energizing us to walk in God's light and to love the life we live in Jesus. The idea of believers as children of light is a common metaphor that describes the great change that they have gone through in the spiritual work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration, and then the work of God that's carried on in sanctification. You know, easy believism has really bypassed the new birth and sanctification. I've knocked on a lot of doors. I've met people that say, yeah, I made a profession of faith. I prayed a prayer 28 years ago. They never go to church, never read their Bible, never pray, never witness. And yet they claim that they're a genuine believer in Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you, if you are a child of light and you aren't living for the Lord, you are going to be chastened. You will experience the chastening hand of God. But people that are unchastened, the Bible says, if you be not chastened, ye are bastards and not sons. Meaning that whatever you're professing is illegitimate. It's not true. It's not genuine. Now, Jesus said this. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If you're a child of the light, you're going to follow Christ. You're going to follow Him in the way of discipleship, in the way of church attendance, in the way of following Him and baptism, being a part of the Lord's work. I mean, that's what following Christ is about. Denying ourselves, denying our self-will, our pride, our arrogance, our own ways, to follow Him. And again, this is a truth that is not being preached in the day and age in which we live, because it's too offensive to religious people. When a preacher stands up and says, you know what, if you're not living right, you ain't right. You need to repent. You need to walk with the Lord. You need to walk in His light. And if you're not chastened, when you know you're doing wrong and you don't feel convicted, you need to check whether you're saved or not. Now, in the new birth, the Holy Spirit of God brings us out of our blindness and darkness and reveals the glory and the light of the gospel to us. One of my favorite verses, I've already quoted the 2 Corinthians 4:4 about the God of this world blinding the minds of them which believe not. But it says this in verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is a radical, transforming experience that changes you forever. Where you will, you, in your heart, you're going to say, I've been translated. I've been taken out of the miry pit, set on the solid rock. I've been rescued from the broad road of destruction and put on the narrow way. I have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and sin into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And I don't want to go back. I'm a child of the light, a child of the King. And I want to walk with Him. 1 Peter 2:9 and 10 further explains this glorious change. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Wherein in time past you were not a people, but are now the people of God, and have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. It's talking about a radical change that's manifested in the way you live your life after God intervenes. From the moment that we were regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit, and given the ability and the gifts to repent and believe the gospel in conversion, our lives from that moment on are to be characterized by walking in the light of God. I refer to this a lot. I've already quoted it, but I'm going to give you the other two verses that go along with it. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This then is the message that we heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now again, huge contrast between light and darkness. Now, darkness is a common metaphor used to describe the spiritual and moral state of unbelievers. All right? They are dwelling in the darkness and the evil of sin. One of the missionaries we support, Brother Daniel Pearson, put a statement on about Roe versus Wade. They may have turned back the law, but it didn't change people's hearts. And the reality of that is playing out in the major cities of America, where people are looting and protesting and rioting over this decision. Their hearts haven't been changed. They're still in darkness. They don't see the value of life. They don't see the glory and the power of God. Ephesians 4:17 through 20 exhorts believers not to walk in that darkness of unbelievers. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. Your life's been changed. You're not going to walk and agree with this world system that's dominated by Satan and the darkness of sin. This world system
hates God, hates His Word, hates the light of Jesus Christ, and loves darkness, and promotes it. And that's what we're up against. You see, lost folks, and I was in the mix of this. Everybody that's not saved, this is where they're at. They may not admit it. In fact, most of them don't even know it. They don't even acknowledge it. They've blinded themselves to the reality of the consequences of sin. And as a result, the wrath of God will overtake those dwelling in that darkness. Their ultimate judgment will consist of being cast into the lake of fire. That is, their eternal punishment is sometimes described as outer darkness, to experience the wrath of God for their sins of darkness for all eternity. Now, Paul assures the children of light that the time period of wrath and judgment will not overtake them. That day should not overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of the darkness. They've been translated out of the darkness of Satan's kingdom into the light of Jesus Christ in the work of regeneration. They've been made to see the glories of Christ in the gospel. They've been enlightened to see their need of Jesus Christ and His glorious salvation. Since believers do not live in the realm of darkness, the day of the Lord will not overtake them. They have nothing to fear from this day of wrath, because I believe that the Lord is going to, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Huge difference between these comforting words dealing with the catching away of the saints and the day of the Lord, when judgment begins to be systematically poured out upon the earth. When the day of the Lord comes, we'll be in glory, because we're children of the light and children of the day. And we'll come back with the Lord to establish His kingdom. That's exactly what the Bible teaches in Revelation 19. We're going to come back with Him when He establishes, when He judges, and we're going to live and reign with Him for 1,000 years. So, since believers are children of the day and partakers of God's grace, they're not going to have to endure the judgments that are described in the day of the Lord, which will be reserved for those who are dwelling in the darkness of sin and unbelief. I thought MacArthur, as I study this book, he's becoming one of my favorite commentators. He pretty well really nails things. I don't agree with everything he teaches, but he's really good on exposition. And he said this: to drive home his point, Paul declares emphatically, "We are not of the night nor of the darkness." Believers live in an entirely different sphere than those who will experience God's wrath in the day of the Lord. As sons of light and sons of day, believers walk in newness of life. Romans 6:4. They are new creatures in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
They are new creations, Galatians 6:15. They are seated in the heavenly places in Christ, Ephesians 2:6, and have their lives hidden with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3. Therefore, the Thessalonians did not need to fear missing the rapture, being caught in the day of the Lord, or experiencing God's wrath and condemnation. Believers live in a separate sphere of life where judgment cannot come. We'll close there for now.